It's been a while since we've been to ABC, but you guys used to meet back in the high school long time before COVID and all that stuff. So it's really nice to be able to be with you again this morning and to have a little bit of a look at a pretty special part of God's Word together. So just to explain a little bit about myself, I am a child youth ministry worker. I work full-time in school ministry, both in school chaplaincy and also I teach scripture at Corowa High School, and we live in Corowa. Most of my family's here today. My youngest, Manoa, who's actually almost the biggest in the family now, getting close. I'm almost off my throne of the tallest in the family, but he's sick this morning, so sorry he couldn't be with us as well. So that's a bit about me. Let's have a look at God's Word. Might just pray before we dive into these verses and some other verses as well. Let's pray. Father God, you are an awesome Father. You are the ruler of all things. Even when we struggle to see that, you are the ruler. You are our Father, and you care for each one of us. And as we look at your Word this morning, I pray that you would show us the things that we need to hear and see. Help us to understand your Word. And help us to walk away from this service this morning just filled with appreciation for what you've done for us, but also thinking about the ways we need to walk in throughout the weeks ahead. And we thank you for your Word, that it's accessible to us. And help me to explain it well, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you guys are familiar with how wonderful things are when they're new. Be it a new relationship that is fresh and vibrant and full of energy, or whether it's you've had the blessing of having a new car. I haven't had that yet. I wouldn't have a clue what a brand new car is like. But driving out of that sales room in a brand new car that with all those smells and all those exciting things that come with it. Or whether it's just a new second-hand car, we've got to get used to everything. Got to get used to how the clutch or the automatic gearbox works and all those little intricacies around it. I always used to think that the best way to buy a car was to buy it a long way from home and then drive it home, because on the way you got to work out all the issues with it and then you knew what you had to do with it. But there's something special about new things. How long have you guys been in this building for? A couple of years now, or...? Yeah, okay. And there would have been a certain level of excitement for you guys finding a new place where you could come together and worship God together as His family. And it's just the way we're wired. When things are new, things are exciting. There's something really special about it. Over time, that new gloss wears away. That brand new relationship that was so full of energy and vibrancy dulls off a little bit, and you have to work at things a bit more. Sometimes when we look at the church in the book of Acts, we can think it's so wonderful to see how things were when they were new, but that's not the way things are now, because things aren't so new. And hopefully as we look at a couple of different things with regards to these verses, that we'll see that, yes, things were new in that day and age, but they can be just as vibrant and vital today as they were back then. So just to help us sort of jump into the passage, the context is really important. Jesus had been around, so the people that were a part of this were people that had known who Jesus was. Some of them would have met with Jesus, some of them would have spent a lot of time with Jesus, as in the apostles and the disciples. Some of them would have even seen Jesus hanging on the cross. So they're people, most of the people, not all of them, but most of the people would have known something personal about Jesus. I was just talking about this on the way up, wondering whether if Jesus had died here in Albury in this day and age, whether his death would be on the news or not. I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think through. What was the knowledge and the popularity of the things about Jesus in that day and age. They would have heard something of this Jesus of Nazareth, who is working amazing miracles, healing sick people, and bringing people back to life even. Those stories would have spread. They would have spread far and wide. So they're people that had something to do with Jesus, and here they are gathering together as God's people, people who have known Jesus, known his death, known his resurrection. They're gathered around the gospel, the truth of what Jesus has done for us in dying on the cross for our sins, so that in our sinfulness, in our brokenness, we can know that full forgiveness of God the Father because of what Jesus has done. These guys have recently received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, with all sorts of wonderful things around it. Known that incredible power of Peter preaching the good news at that occasion and other occasions too. Seeing someone who had been a person who had denied Jesus to being someone who was in front of thousands of people proclaiming that message of Jesus' death and resurrection for our sins. They were exciting times. It was almost like, you know, a new band is getting popularity in the world and suddenly people are all over it. They're all over the radio. Everyone's into them. It's all exciting and new. And everyone's waiting for them to do a big tour of the world so they can go and see them. It's that kind of excitement, but it's based on something far more special than music. The verses that we looked at there in Acts chapter 4. It says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. It's an interesting passage, and lots of these passages in Acts and throughout the New Testament are interesting for us because our culture in downtown Albury, and some of you may have different backgrounds, but our culture in Albury and the regions around here is quite individualistic. Western culture is individualistic. Everyone does what they want to do. They get on with it. And they're not too worried about everything that goes on around that. Some of you may come from a cultural background that is quite different. Grace and I and the kids worked up in Indigenous communities in far northwest Queensland and down through the Territory into Alice Springs. And one thing that really struck us when we moved down here was that people think they have community, but they don't. There's a touch of it there. There's a little bit of it there. But in Aboriginal communities, everyone is living together all the time. There is far more cross-contact, and that brings with it all sorts of pressures, which we'll talk about in a minute. But there is all sorts of involvement, deep involvement in each other's lives. That as a Westerner living in Corowa, we live in Hume Street in Corowa, we could just live our lives and never know anyone around us in Corowa. And I'm sure it's the same for you guys, whether you're living in Gindra or Albury or Wodonga or wherever. There's an independence to our culture, which is quite different to what we see in the early church, but also just the culture of the time in these parts of the world where Jesus and his followers had been travelling around ministering. They were far more community-minded. They were far more concerned with each other and the way that our lives rub together and create community together. And even more so in the church. They're of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. How would you go if your neighbour came next door, they'd found out you'd just bought a brand spanking new car and said, can I borrow your car to drive to Perth on the weekend? How would you answer that question? You probably don't even need to think about it. Or even if, when I was a kid, I grew up south of Sydney, But we, you don't like to call it Sydney because people think of Sydney as the city, and it wasn't the city. But even where I grew up, we went across the road to get vegetables off the lady who grew veggies across the road. People would come in and ask for bread or milk or flour, or they'd run out a little bit and they just couldn't be bothered walking the 10 minutes up the street to go to the shop. And so there was that a lot more. Even today, if someone came in from next door or up the road and said, look, I've run out of milk, I'm just desperate for a cup of tea, can I have a bit of milk? It would be a strange thing. It would be weird. You'd think, oh, that's weird. Yeah, sure, you can have some milk, but it's a bit strange. But that wasn't the way in the early church. Everything they had, they considered in common. Everything. And so much so that we see further down, there was not a needy person among them, for as many were owners of lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Think about the real estate market today. I assume that some of you, like us, are getting a bit tired of interest rates edging their way up each couple of weeks at going up a little bit. And we knew it was going to happen, so it's all good, but it creates pressure. And we tend to have to work a bit more or whatever we have to do to find the extra money to pay our mortgages, whatever's your case. Maybe you've paid your mortgage off. Maybe you don't have those worries. Maybe you've got other housing arrangements. People who owned properties, houses, lands, etc., were selling them to provide for those in need. How ready would you be today to take something of yours to sell to provide for a need of someone else? Maybe in the church here, maybe in the broader Christian community, maybe in the just the broader community of Albury Wodonga. How ready would you be to do that? These were amazing times. Incredible things happening. These are highly unusual things. But it's what was happening again and again and again. They had everything in common. They had community in what they were doing and the way they were living. Many of you would have communities that you've been a part of throughout your life. Whether it's a football netball club, whether it's a church, whatever it is, there would be people here who have all been part of community at some point in your life. And it's an interesting thing that some sections that have been traditional sort of senses of community, things like Rotary and Apex and Lions clubs and things like that, are starting to struggle. They're starting to struggle to get members in to be a part of their community. But there are other sections of community that are thriving. One thing we had to get used to when we first moved down was, and even now it's all a bit strange, is the football netball club phenomenon in the region, where people are really devoted to their football community and a lot of stuff happens around that. And that's really quite healthy. There are some things around that that are probably not that healthy. But the community side of things is really good because so many people don't have that at all in today's society. But even more importantly, there's the community of your church here. And one thing that I'd like you guys to walk away with today is just thinking about your community and whether it is that community that they had in that early church. And if it's not, trying to figure out, well, how do we do that? How do we build that community here in Albury Bible Church? I want to go back a few chapters, and it's a bit of a spot the difference. I used to love those spot the difference things when I was a kid. Maybe not so much now when my eyes are starting to do weird things and not see things that are on the page as well as they used to. But I used to love doing the spot the difference things in magazines and things like that, because you could spot all these little differences in the chairs or flowers or whatever was there. There's a very similar passage back in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And we'll play a bit of Spot the Difference as we read these verses together, because they're very similar verses to what we read in Acts 4. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." So again, there's this community there. And what sort of community is it? It's a community built around the teaching of the apostles, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. They had a community built around Jesus, built around the gospel of Jesus. That common thread that was through all of their lives was the fact that Jesus had saved them from their sins, and that Jesus was showing them through the Holy Spirit and His Word how they were to live each day of their lives in fellowship with Him and with each other. They devoted themselves to it. They weren't coming together just to be good friends. They weren't a community based around a common theory of worship or a common Bible version. They were people devoted to the teachings of the apostles, which were the teachings of Jesus. They had everything in common, again, still back at that point. Again, that idea of selling things to help provide for each other. Day by day, gathering together, breaking of bread. Now, we know that means several things, that idea of breaking of bread. It's a picture that Jesus used, and even when Jesus broke bread on the beach, they understood who Jesus was when He gave thanks. It was a symbol, the Lord's Supper that Jesus left for us, as well as that eating together. But it was that ceremony of the Lord's Supper as well. They were gathered together around Jesus, but there for each other as well. A wonderful, thriving community that was growing and growing and growing. Do we have that? Do we have that alive community in our churches? I don't know you guys that well. I don't know much about Albury Bible Church. I do know that the first time we came to Albury Bible Church, which is a few years ago now, probably almost 5 years ago, soon after we first moved down from Northwest Queensland, we were struggling with the community, or lack of the community in the church that we were connected to at the time. And we came up we were living in Rutherglen at the time. We came up to Albury Bible Church to visit with some people, and we found a warmth to you guys. We found a warmth around Jesus, but a connection to each other. And we thought, wow, this is really nice, because we weren't experiencing it in the other church that we came from. They thought they had community, and they all talked about the community they had. But as newcomers into that community, we didn't feel that. Even though we had that common bond in Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, even though we had that idea of working together for the kingdom, we just didn't feel it. I think as churches, we need to be really, really thinking hard about the stories of the New Testament church and how vibrant, but how community-minded they were, how they incorporated people into the body of Christ, and have a think about that and reflect on, are our churches like that? Do we have that energy? Do we have that care for each other? Do we have that ability to welcome people in with that warmth? Now, the early church was not perfect by any means. The verses that Ron read for us, the next section is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who said they sold everything and gave it to the church, gave it to the apostles to be distributed. But they didn't sell everything. They sold everything, but they didn't give it all the way they'd said they had. In this amazing story, they ended up dead because of the lies that they had told and the way they were abusing the community of Christ in that way. They died. So there were obviously things that weren't perfect in that church at that time either. But it does good for us as a church that will never be perfect. As they say, if you find a perfect church, don't go there because you'll ruin it. Because none of us are perfect. We're all imperfect people, followers of Jesus, trying to work out life with Jesus together. Our churches will never be perfect, but we can strive to make our churches the communities that they should be. I don't know how you guys went over the COVID period. People often ask me how my children went with their schooling over COVID. I won't make any comment here because they're here, but schooling was a struggle over the COVID period. I work in schools, so I'm aware of that. And a lot of other parts of life were a struggle during the COVID period. And a big part of that was the sudden loss of community. My kids are not huge fans of school, but that sudden loss of their friendship community because of COVID was almost devastating to them. And it created all sorts of issues with the way they view school, reinforcing some of their thinking towards school. It was a huge struggle. And you look at the statistics, if you're looking to the research, the mental health figures that have come out as a result of the lockdowns and things, whatever you think of the government's stance on all that stuff, but just looking at the mental outcomes of the lockdowns and the COVID period are massive. The mental health issues, because communities were ripped apart. You couldn't just go down the street, well, not legally, you couldn't just go down the street and spend some time with a mate to talk about your issues. We weren't allowed to come to church as God's people. And even now you reflect on that and you think, wow, we weren't legally allowed to gather together to worship God. The church has suffered through the lockdowns as well, hasn't it? I don't know what you guys have experienced, but many churches around the country have experienced a drop in attendance since COVID. And even now people, you know, with people being sick and having to isolate, there's still low attendances in a lot of churches. That tearing of community has happened. People that you used to see all the time, you may not see anymore, especially during those lockdown periods. It was a damaging thing to the community. But as you came back together, as we're allowed to come back together and get together for God, did you reflect on what that was like? I remember here in Albury, the lockdown wasn't that bad for us. For people in Victoria, when they first were allowed to come back together and worship God together, it was an incredible thing. That freshness and that vitality was there. I wonder if we asked them today whether that was still there, that excitement was still there at being able to do it. I'm not sure what we'd find. But that community based around Jesus is so important for us. It's within community that we get to know each other, that we get to pray for each other, that we get to share communion with each other. It's through community that we can pull each other up. And you'll see that in other parts of the New Testament where Paul and Peter and others are saying that iron sharpens iron, that we bounce off each other, we cut pieces off each other where needed, because sometimes we do need that. Sometimes we need the the gentle assistance to go, hey, are you okay? Sometimes you need a more firm approach for people to challenge you more directly, more bluntly. There are those times when we need to reach out to our brothers and sisters and say, look, and being frankly honest and being able to say, I'm really struggling to trust God in this situation. I don't know, again, I don't really know what your community is like here so much, but we've been involved in churches where people wouldn't share what they were going through because they were frightened of something. They were frightened of being judged or something happening that they weren't going to enjoy. They were frightened of it. They couldn't be accountable to each other. They couldn't be open. They couldn't just share where they were at because they were fearful of the response of the people in the church. And do you have a community that is like that, or do you have a community that is like what we see here, where everyone is of one mind and one soul, where everybody is able to be honest with each other, where everybody is able to pour out their concerns and their struggles? It's an amazing picture of what the early church had. An amazing example for us of what we should have. Based on what Jesus has done for us. Community is an interesting thing. It's not easy to be part of a community at all. It's sometimes a wonderful thing and sometimes a really difficult thing. To be able to overlook and forgive the things that are done in community that aren't right. To be able to walk side by side with people and accept them for who they are. It's not an easy thing. But again, it's because of what Jesus has done for us that as the church, we should be able to do that. What God has forgiven us, we then should be able to forgive each other for. You might have community in other parts of your life, but do you have it in the church? And if you don't, what can you do to build that community in your church? When you find that community, when you know that community, when you create that community around what God has done for you, great things happen. And people from the outside see that and they think, what's going on there? What do they have in this family that they've got that we don't have? And they start to look into it and they find out about Jesus through that. That's a wonderful thing. I think as more and more as people, the media especially, comes against the church, it should drive us even more and more together into community to be praying for each other and supporting each other the way we should. Just going back into Acts chapter 4, the end of Acts chapter 4 again, before we finish up. Says in verse 33, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not any needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. How are the needs going in your church here? Are you caring for each other the way that they did back then? Are you caring for each other because of the way that God has cared for you? Amen.